Blog Talk Radio.
Legendary status. Big XL. Sam Pisa, a.k.a. T.F. Where y'all gonna learn, man? You can't stop what's inevitable. It's the incredible. PZ, a.k.a. T.F. Dropping jewels, but they edible. I ate my vegetables, but he ate my spinach. Riding with Vic again, so no, we ain't finished. Legendary status, so no, you cannot copy. Riding dirty radio, so crispy, y'all so sloppy. Enter to the street, so we know just what is needed. But keep it underground, staying down, cause we ain't greedy. This is where you find what is popping for the culture. Where we keeping it all precious, stay away from all the vultures. No, scavengers here, just keeping it real. Big got it out the mud, but it's still so clear. So sit back, relax, and just let us lead you. If you're strolling for no reason, then we don't need you. It's Big XL, he can't be stopped. Riding dirty forever, the home of real hip-hop.
What up, world? It's your boy, Vic XL. This is the Ryan Dirty Show. We bridge the gap between hip-hop and everyday life. Man, I got to say one time for everybody at WRFG 89.3 FM Atlanta. One time for everybody on the check-in over on YouTube. One time for everybody checking in on Facebook. One time for everybody checking in on whatever streaming platform you're checking in on. I say one time for the good people over at live365.com. Again, and WRFG 89.3, who make the Riding Dirty Radio Show possible. Please lock us in. Go to your favorite streaming sites and check us out, Riding Dirty Radio, or 89.3 FM Atlanta, or live365.com on Ride 95. All right, now you know how we do it right here on the Riding Dirty Show, where we bridge the gap between hip-hop and everyday life, man. We bring you the movers and shakers of the culture, the people that are definitely changing the culture, whether it's through art, entertainment, whether it's through music, whether it's through entrepreneurship, activism. This is the platform for people who are definitely changing the world through their talent and through their art. And tonight is no different than any other night on the Riding Dirty Show. So ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the platform, lead singer of the Collectives, Miss Tatiana Blades. How you doing tonight,
man? Hello. I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for taking the time to sit down and talk to us. And everyone who checks out this platform, is an honor and a pleasure to have you here.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
All right, so look, let's get into it. Before we even get into the historical last name, let's talk about Tatiana Blades and where you're actually from.
Where I'm actually from is Miami, actually. So born and raised, city of 305. My family is from, well, my mother is from Puerto Rico, born in New Jersey. My family from that side is all from the island. And my father born in Panama, and his mother and father were Cuban and Colombian.
Okay, now, before we go any further, tell people about the last name Blades, your traditional last name Blades, and where they might know that last name from.
Well, it could ring a couple of bells. It depends on what era you're from and what you're specifically into. So some people will hear it and recognize an actor that's been in Predator and that's been in like Safe House and a bunch of the Once Upon a Time in Mexico, like all these movies that he's been in. And then another, you know, somebody else might hear it and recognize it from a musician and a singer. He's a writer and a producer, very well-known musician. And so my family holds some weight in that area, whereas my uncle's name is Ruben Blades. And he is a, as I said before, he's a singer, songwriter, also an actor, an activist, very much into politics and giving back to people. And my father is also a singer and songwriter as well as a performer in the industry.
All right. Now, what's it like growing up with that last name? Is there pressure? What's it like growing up in with such a historical last name?
Well, you get a lot of expectations, you know? My family is centered in the Latin sector of music. So a lot of people, when they would hear my name, they would automatically kind of group me in that and be like, oh, you know, you're going to sing like this. You know, we want you to sing this. And nobody ever really asked me what I wanted to sing or what I was interested in. You know, it was just that I was good at it. So they were, you know, just everybody has a lot of suggestions for what you should do if you have any inclination to have the same interest in music, you know. For other people, they get really shook and they're like very excited because my uncle is very much, he's been in the music industry from like the 1970s, and his story is really incredible. And what I respect about my family so much is that each of them went through the ranks. They didn't go an easy way, you know. They each established themselves to be a person and a force in the industry. And so each of us has kind of is going in that same direction, you know. Whereas even though I have this family name, I never really used it. I never really even told people my name. Like, I would always just introduce myself as Tatiana. I wouldn't really say my last name or anything like that. And I kind of just held that part about me, and I only recently got involved in music. So, like, you know, if I knew somebody was going to be crazy about the name, then I wouldn't say anything, because you want to make sure that people are liking you for who you are, you know, not because of a name, right, or not because of anything else, you know. So I would just kind of be anonymous.
Okay. Now, what was it like growing up in Miami in the 305, especially with so many cultures and so many styles of music?
Oh, man, I think it's awesome. I love it. You know, I love the diversity here. I feel like it's become a bit more than it was before, because I feel like with the growth of the city, you know, with COVID, like when I was younger, there was only Miami, the beach, and Coconut Grove. That was what existed. There wasn't anything else. So now there's Wynwood. Now there's, you know, Brickell. Now there's all these really cool areas that people have expanded to, and each of them has their own identity and their own kind of little history. Because Wynwood is more like hipster, more art, you know. Brickell is kind of more the yuppity up. it's really cool. I like what Miami has to offer. It's a lot of different cultures, so you get to mix with a lot of different kind of people and get a lot of different perspectives.
Okay, now when did the musical journey start for you? You know, we know you had the tradition of the last name, but when did you actually realize you had talent, and when did your journey begin?
From what I can remember, I don't know if you remember composition books. I used to, you know, I used to collect those, and I used to save it for writing poetry and just kind of writing anything that came into my mind. I didn't know what it was back then. I just was kind of doodling, and I still have those composition books to this day. So it's like, I was 8 years old when I asked my stepdad and my mom for a piano, for a keyboard. You know, I had actually wanted a baby grand piano, not understanding money or how expensive anything was, but, you know, my dad settled for a keyboard, and he gave it to me. And I started listening, like, I would hear music, and I would start to play it. And so that's when it was kind of suggested that I would go to a magnet school, a magnet music school, and that's when I tried out for the program, went into that when I was in seventh, eighth grade. And the first courses that they offer you is they give you a couple of electives to choose from. And the ones that I had chosen were piano, violin, and voice. And as you progress and, you know, you get older, you have to, you know, slim that down. So then it became voice and piano, and then it was voice. And I got very bored with that after a while, because when you're learning the history of music and Baroque period and jazz, and you're kind of even getting told how to do everything in that area, it loses its fun, you know. And for me, what was always personal about music was that it was fun. So I kind of took a step back, took a step away from it, and then pursued entertainment and production, and did that for many years up until 2 years ago. I'm sorry, not 2 years, it's 2019 now, when I met the guitarist of the Collective, and we met through a friend, and he had, you know, kept insisting, you know, that we meet each other, and, you know, we did, and then we ended up meeting, like, every single weekend to jam out, just because we loved music, not for anything else, you know. He brought on his friend who was a drummer from a previous band that he was with, and then we started jamming out, and just, we started with no... You know, with no, we didn't have anything like, an expectation that this was going to be something. We just literally loved getting together and playing music together. So I got to recording us and posting us on Instagram and doing the live, the Instagram live. And a venue had seen us and expressed interest in booking us and paying us. And we didn't even have a name. We didn't even have anything. So that's kind of where the name The Collective came from. Because we didn't know what else to call ourselves. We were like, we're a collective group of people, so The Collective. And we just changed the C to a K, and it kind of just stuck from there. We've just been booking since then.
All right, so you mean to tell me one of the first times you took the stage live was a paid gig for you?
Yeah, actually, I'm very accurate. That's the very first time, yes.
Now, how did that feel?
I was terrified also, by the way. We have that time on camera. And I had to have a conversation with myself in the mirror before I went on, because it's not enough to know that you're good at something. I remember being younger and being in music and being good at it. And I remember getting this negative backlash from kids, you know? And I kind of learned maybe not to be so great, you know? Or not to be good. It's okay to be good, but don't be too good that people won't like you, you know? And I think that was something that was really hard for me to unlearn. So when I went on stage that time, music was always something that I really loved, and it seemed to come the best to me when in the most natural circumstances, you know, like Eddie would start spitting, rapping, like just freestyling, and then Joe would come in with the drums, and we would just like make music, and that's what was beautiful about it. So I knew that I loved it, and evidently people that were watching it loved it, but it wasn't in front of anybody, and I was really, I didn't know what was going to happen or how people were going to look at me, look at this girl, I think she can sing, you know, whatever, you know. And I just fucking said, I was like, you know what, let me just go out there, let me just do it, let me, you know, you're a Blades, act like a Blades, be a Blades, right now you need to be a Blades. And so I walked out, and I remember I had a stool, and that stool was like my security blanket. I was holding on to that stool, like I did not get up from it, I did not move, and I literally, all I could see was, it was like a horse with blinders. I was just like, just go, do the thing, sit down, get through it. And it was, I didn't even hear people clapping after, because I was so like nervous. I was so out of myself. And I remember asking, I was like, did we do good? Was it good? And they're like, yeah, look at everybody here. And after that, we got the venue booked us every month for the next year. And then after that, we just got another booking after that and another booking after that and another book. It just, one thing really led to another. And that's exactly how it happened. I don't think it would have happened any other way.
Okay. Now, you mentioned you thought to yourself, just go out there and be a Blade. How does your family feel at this point about your music and what you're creating?
My dad has always told me to go for it. He always was very straightforward about doing this. He would explain to me, I remember when I was very, you know, younger, going with him to the studios, and he was like, Tatiana, you know, it's okay to be in this business, but you never want to be, he goes, have you ever heard starving artists? And he goes, they're called starving artists for a reason. He's like, you want to be smart about the way that you go into this. And he had always encouraged me to be involved first as a writer because you are able to make more money that way, gain more respect from your peers and in the industry, and then to go as a singer. And I was like, I want to be a singer, I want to be a singer. And he's like, singers don't make shit. he was like, you know, this is when I was younger. And so when I started kind of getting into it now, I started telling him, I was like, people are really responding to me doing the music. And he's like, yeah, of course they are. And I was like, he was just so confident, he just knew it. And he was like, you know, you're going to get presented with a lot of opportunities. You're going to want to make sure that you're ready for anything that you take. And, you know, I have every faith that you can do it in anything that you want, you know, like, but my family has never been one of those that it's like, oh, you know, let me call this person and do you a favor. Let me open the door for you, you know, and to be honest with you, I never would even want that. I don't even know how I would feel about that, because then how am I ever going to know how good I am if I didn't earn it, you know, like music is about connecting. For me, it's always been that. You know, when I was little and I didn't really understand much of the world going on around me, I understood music. And I understood the pain that was in music, and I understood the joy that was in music. And I wanted to share that with people. I wanted to do that for someone else. I wanted to be able to, without meeting somebody, have them hear my words and be able to improve their day somehow. And that's what I always thought music was. And it wasn't until about when I was like 15 years old that I started getting into the studio, and Emilio Estefan heard a demo that I had done. And he thought that I would be a good fit for the next Miami Sound Machine, the reinvented Miami Sound Machine. And, you know, my dad didn't let me do it, didn't let me go forward with it. I thought he was, oh, I wanted every plane to hit him, like every bus, every everything. I was so fucking mad, but I just, at that point, I didn't recognize that my dad was kind of protecting me in a sense. I didn't know about the things that happened at music stations, at record companies, you know, that somebody can sign you and shelf you and keep all your, you know, creative, you know, anything that you do creatively for X amount of years, like, there's a whole process and world and corporate structure that lies beyond just being a musician, you know, like, and these are kind of necessary evils. You have to learn about marketing and sales and merchandise. And if you don't have something like that to support you, then you kind of have to do it on your own. And if you're a person that wants to do your own music, that's not the style of what somebody else is expecting you to do. That's kind of like really what you got to do. It's not the easier road, but it's the most honest. At least if you're gonna be, you know, an honest musician, I guess, right?
Definitely. All right, now, as an independent artist, like, what are some of the valuable lessons you've learned thus far in your journey?
You have to believe in yourself. You have to, well, first you have to figure out what you want. And you have to have the courage to tell yourself that you want it, you know? For a long time, I told myself that I didn't want to do anything with music. And I was like, oh, it's not for me, you know, it's not going to happen, blah, blah, blah. And I left it as it was. And I heard somebody say something in passing, and it was so, such a simple thing. And they had said, the gifts that God gives you, if you don't use them, he takes them away. And it's something, such a silly statement, you know, in passing, but it really stuck with me. And I thought about it, and I was like, damn, how horrible would that be if I got like laryngitis or something, my tonsils got taken out or my voice got altered, and I would never know what I could have done. I would have never known. Like, why don't I just try? So I started getting involved in the music community, and I started getting, you know, socializing with people and opening up and expressing myself musically. And that's what kind of led me into meeting my bandmates and led us to every other opportunity that we took on. So first, knowing what you want, part of that, and once you know what you want, that's a very good foundation for everything else that you're going to have to deal with, because everybody is going to tell you what to do, how to look, what to say, what to wear, It's crazy. And if you don't get a hold of that and figure out who you are and who you're not willing to be or who you are willing to be, what you're willing to change, because we live in a world that is constantly trying to change us. That is absolutely always true, right?
Yes.
To be able to stick to something, like, you know, what it's like somebody's like, oh, I don't, that kind of looks like crap on you. And you're like, great, I love it. Like, you know, like people tell me things like that all the time. And it's like something that got told to me was that, you know, I get asked this question as a woman all the time. They're like, oh, how old are you? Do you want to have kids? Are you planning on getting married? You know, what's your, because they want to know who they're investing in. Is anything going to be a liability in the future for their investment? And, something that I found early on was I have a voice, right? And people, I guess, like my voice. And when I say people, I'm referring to like producers and people that maybe need a demo or need a person's voice to be used because they need it to sound a certain way, right, for a song that they have. So something that began to happen with me is when I would go into work in projects with producers, and this is, you know, multiple. I would find that I would go and sing something my way, right? And that's what makes it yours, is you singing it your way. And I would work on a project and they would like have me literally, it would be me, they would be them singing through me. They were telling me how to hit this note, how to do this note, how to come down, how to stop with the breath, like everything. And I don't know how to explain it. Like, when I'm performing, one of the best things that happens is that I am not focusing on anything else but that moment, but the feeling of what that song is, where it's taking me, that's all it is. That is all there is. When it gets into micromanaging and music like that, it's really just me singing. It's a voice singing a song. There's no emotion behind it. There's nothing. And it sucks. And so that's part of the reason why I had to stop before, because all of the attention that I was getting was from people that were very much wanting me to be and do whatever they said. And that wasn't me. I wasn't a Latin singer. I wasn't a Paulina Rubio. I wasn't a Shakira. I wasn't a, you know, I wasn't that kind of musician. I'm into alternative rock. I mean, I'm all across the board. I love all kinds of music, but the kind of music that I sing is alternative and alternative rock. And I think that understanding that's where my heart sings, you know, I have to stick with that, because I can try to do other things and projects, but if they don't meet with, you know, with me mentally and with my heart, then it's not going to be my best performance. And I never want to sacrifice that.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about your group, The Collective. Let's talk about the members and the sound, because you mentioned your sound and your style, but let's go more in detail with the sound and what each member brings to the table.
Okay. So the band is a really cool mix of, it's not so much a mix, I'm the only chick, but it's got a cool mix of ethnicities, if you will. Eddie is Cuban and something else. Joe is, what's Joe? Cuban Miami? No, but what's Joe?
Honduran.
Yeah, Honduran. Venezuelan, myself, you know, being Puerto Rican, Panamanian, and the guys that are my bandmates. So we have the original founding members, which is myself, Eddie, and Joe. And Joe and Eddie used to be in a previous band called Dyslexic Postcards, which was like a punk rock band. So they were together for like, you know, a very, very long time. So when they came together, they already had a history of knowing, you know, what they're going to do next. You know what I mean? You have that familiarity. You kind of, it's very easy to flow. So because they flowed naturally together, and when we would all play, it was just so easy. It was just, I don't know. We didn't have to say anything. It just kind of happened. We just kind of let it just happen. You know, it wasn't, oh, you're doing this wrong, or, oh, you're saying this way. No, there was none of that. And I had never experienced that. And I think that's kind of why I enjoyed it so much. And then from there, we started, you know, when we started getting more bookings, we realized we wanted to fill the sound more. So we started getting people where it's like, oh, you know, we want to play in your band. We want to play with you. We want to play with you. I was like, okay, cool. Now, obviously, anybody that's going to go in the band, I want them to be good. You know, I want them to be great, actually. So I am going to, you know, I'm going to meet with them. I'm going to talk to them. I'm going to listen to their music. And obviously, we have to click, too. There needs to be some kind of similar passion and respect for music. You know, it's not just about showing up to get a paycheck. That we could do that anywhere. That's not what this is. Like, I feel like so many people phone it in. Like, and that really pisses me off when I go out somewhere and I see, like, a live musician somewhere there. It's just like, it's like, no, you know, man, like, I don't care how much you're getting paid, how much or how little, but this means something. You know what I mean? Like, take joy in your work. Take joy in what you're providing and doing. So I would say that the band, I mean, all of us being together, one of the things that makes us what we are is our love for music. And we, you know, we've got all kinds of different age numbers in the band group. But the one thing that I can say that doesn't matter, regardless of age, where we're from, anything like that, is we love music. Music is something very special to each of us. And, you know, I don't, you know, you usually say that musicians and artists and those kinds of people are usually damaged. And maybe that's why we're able to speak so deeply in lyrics to things that happen in life, because it makes us go crazy to keep it in our head, you know. But I think that's what makes us special, is that we have a love for music, and I think that we do it really well together in such a unique way that it's caught the attention of people, even against naysayers that told us, like, oh, you know, they were kind of like, oh, you know, you guys think it's going to be easy, oh, you know, oh, you guys are going to see, you know, and it's like, just like, ah, whatever, screw that attitude. You know, we're doing this because we love it. Like, it's not for any other reason.
All right. Two more questions. Question number one, what's it like being the only girl around all these guys?
No drama.
That was quick.
No drama. I love it. I love being around the guys. Guys are fucking fun. Oops, sorry. Guys are funny. Guys are honest, brutally, you know, and I love being around the boys because you get the real perspective on things. You don't get that sugar-coated thing, you know? So I really love, you know, girls are great too sometimes. They are.
Okay. And my last question is, let's talk about this record, because we definitely want to end this show off playing the record. And the record we're going to play is called All Within Me. Tell me a little bit about the record, the concept, what you want the fans to get from it.
So Eddie started strumming a song, this rhythm, right? And he does this every now and again. And sometimes I'll hear something and sometimes I won't. And with this particular song, I heard this melody and I heard the words. And it just, once it started, it just kind of took on a life of its own. And it ended up being a song, when you actually listen to the lyrics and read it out loud, the first line is, sometimes you feel like shit. And there was a lot of debate on whether to say that word or not. And I wanted to keep it in there because I really wanted the realness of life. You know, we can try to sugarcoat things and put rated R, PG-13, you know, put protections, but life is sometimes shit. It's not always great. It's sometimes bad, and sometimes we make mistakes. Sometimes we let ourselves down, but that's okay, because if we realize that this is what life is, we realize that it's another opportunity to be better. And the second verse came in, I had one of my closest friends that I went to high school with and was like a brother to me. He passed away in 2020 of an accidental overdose. It was cocaine that was laced with fentanyl. And they had said that they worked on him for 3 hours, you know, and I keep that with me because it makes me realize that, man, you know, even with that happening, he had fought really hard to try to stay, and he couldn't. And so every single day when I open my eyes, and this is absolutely true, the second verse says, I open my eyes, it's a brand new day. I'm grateful and happy, I still get to say, thank you. The battle was great. The lessons that I've learned have shaped who I am today. And that's what life is. you know, life is, we go through battles. If life is going to keep giving you something. If you don't learn, you're going to keep getting the lesson, you know? So the battles that we go through shape who we are today, whether they're good or bad. And as long as you have the opportunity to wake up the next day, open your eyes, you have an opportunity to be better. And that's what it's about, just believing in yourself.
Definitely, no doubt. All right, now, before I let you get out of here and before I let you introduce the song to the world, we live in the world of social media and the World Wide Web rules. Let the world know how to find and keep up with yourself and the group, the collectives, and how they can hear this record.
Absolutely. You can look me up by just looking up Tatiana Blades. It's TatianaBlades.com, Instagram, all that fun stuff is the same. The collectives is the collectives.com. Same on Instagram. You can find our music on Spotify, on Apple iTunes, anywhere music is sold, Amazon Music, all the fun places. And I hope that this song relates to you too. And if you give us a follow, drop a line, let us know how you felt about it. We would love to hear from you.
Thank you so much for coming on the show. Before you get up out of here, do me one favor and shout the band out and introduce your record to the world.
Absolutely. My name is Tatiana Blades. We are the All Within Me. I hope you enjoy it.
Appreciate you.
Appreciate you.
Crashes in, and then we start over.